Hi, my name's Matt Eisenegger from Destination Net Zero magazine, media partner for the Commercial Vehicle Show 2025. Over the previous podcast, we've spent a lot of time talking about products, really, and I think it's time just to make a bit of a change. We'd want to talk a little bit more probably about services and support services to the industry. So joining me today is Rhian Burrell from Vitellus. Now, Rhian's the head of marketing. And for those who don't know about Vitellus, you know, it's all in the branding and it's contract high with a difference, I think they like to say. So, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Great, and again, thanks very much for joining us. So, CV show's coming up. You're very kindly supporting us in the Destination Net Zero Zone. But for those people that don't know about Vitellus, can you just give us a bit of a potted history about what it is, where it came from and what it's doing?
Yeah, sure. So Vitellus is a specialist full-service contract hire company for both diesel and electric commercial vehicles. It's backed by Renault Trucks and an incredibly strong dealer network that is nationwide. So it was launched back in November 2022. But obviously the heritage and everything and all of the experience behind it goes much beyond those kind of few years that we've been in operation. Yeah. So as you say, we talk about contract hire with a difference. That is the strap line. But what really sets us apart is how we're able to connect the dots of that network, the shareholder network across the country, to provide kind of seamless full service contract hire support, especially for businesses who have multiple operating sites across the UK. So we're kind of here to support fleets at every stage of the journey, whether that's kind of running cleaner diesel today, thinking about alternative fuels with HVO or trialing electric, we're kind of the all singing, all dancing, full service contract hire offer.
It's really interesting what you're saying there, because I can see, I mean, I've been around this industry all my working life, and the sort of contract hire element has always been there, but we're into this new dawn now. You know, there's lots of offers on the table to go down this decarbonisation route, and I think you've picked up there hydrotreated vegetable, HVO being one. We've got battery electric vehicles, and we've got a whole manner of products and services in and around that. But what I thought was really, really interesting, I was lucky enough to go to the launch of Vitellus, but I think 2022 was it?
Yeah, November 22.
And I thought it was really innovative, because at that point, the sort of piece was very much just really at that point, just focusing on battery electric vehicles and getting those products into the market. And I thought it was good because it was almost this sort of try before you buy offering.
Yeah.
You know, so people that wanted to get involved with it didn't have to make a massive, massive commitment and could try and see if it worked for them.
Yeah. And that is a core part of our offer. So you're right. A lot of the messaging when we launched in November 22 and even now is still focused around what we call the EV Discovery Program. So that is the try before you buy. We were first to market with that. And we have a fleet of 30 vehicles, so 19 ton box bodies, curtain siders and fridges available for a 12 month kind of trial period. But what it's not is us just going, hey, here's the keys to the truck, off you go and see how you get on with it. What you get with that is a full service support. So we've got Optifleet data being worked in behind it. We've got a charging partner with Zenobi who provide the charging support. And then you've got a team of human beings who are expert to all of this to support kind of every stage of the journey. So it is a real kind of real world, take the truck and see how it fits with your operation kind of trial.
So it's a full service, isn't it? So, I mean, you know, so let's say, for example, the operator wants to jump on board for this 6 month trial or whatever it is. You obviously, they've got the full consultation before that.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you turn, the vehicle arrives. And am I correct? It becomes with a sort of a charging system to support it on site?
Yeah, it does. So we go, the whole process is kind of designed to be as easy as possible for the operator. So when you inquire on, an operator inquires on taking one of those EV Discovery vehicles on, we'll do a site survey. So we'll bring our charging partner Zenobi in. We'll do a free site survey to make sure that the electric kind of the capability is there. And then assuming it is, we then work with them to get that charger kind of installed and working. So the truck is actually delivered with the charger on the back of it. You have all of that kind of setup and support to make sure it's all kind of talking to each other and working at delivery, and then ongoing support through the trial, through the 12-month trial period.
Yeah, you see, the operators need that as well, because I mean, it's seen as a little bit of a, I suppose, in a lot of instances, even internal pressures from business. You know, there'll be people within this, you know, the stakeholders of the business will be, you know, look, we need to be doing what we can. We need to be, let's try this vehicle. Let's see if it's for us. Let's see if we can make it work. And I suppose all that support is an absolute necessity to make sure to help them on the journey. And, you know, it is going to be for some people and yeah. It's not going to be for everybody. But at least if they've tried and said this, for whatever reason, the work we're doing and how our business is structured at this moment in time, it's not for us,
yeah.
Then they've not. It's not an expensive mistake to make, is it?
No, exactly that. It's a very good fixed weekly kind of price point for each of the vehicles. And actually some of the feedback we've had from those who have taken the kind of the EV Discovery vehicles is that more often than not, they are at the end of that 12 months starting to look at, okay, I want a new one now to come in on a longer term kind of contract hire deal. So yeah. it is a kind of test and learn approach to yeah. it, but it's going quite well for those that have taken it.
No, but it is. I think it's for the good of the industry as well, you know, but as I say, you're the sort of an organisation that's gone forward with this.
Yeah.
And it's if looking about this whole awareness piece that, you know, operators do need to do it at some point. And I suppose it's better for them to get on the journey right at the start and say, well, yeah, it's good. But that's only one part of what you do, though, isn't it?
It
you know,
is.
We've spoken about this whole sort of, I suppose, green contract hire is probably a good way of describing it, isn't it? You know, that you're moving away from the traditional acquisition method of contract hire mm-hmm. into this sort of consultative approach and advice and partnership and all those other bits and pieces as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the EV Discovery Programme is a really easy thing to talk about because it's new, it's innovative, it's exciting, it's kind of moving everything forward on that kind of sustainability journey to net zero. But at Vitellus, we're very pragmatic about the fact that actually diesel is going to have a role to play for a significant number of years yet. And so what we try to do is be there for the operators at the point in the journey that they're on. So whether that's kind of operating cleaner diesel today, whether it's trialing HVO, whether it is doing the EV Discovery Programme, it is a consultative approach. It's the full fleet management support package that we offer, no matter where kind of companies are on their decarbonisation journey.
I suppose it's been very, very well accepted by the operators as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, because I think everyone, you know, it's new for everybody and everybody wants to have that expert support and the guidance. And it's not a straightforward process. It's not a case of overnight I can change my entire fleet to be electric and off I go. You know, there's a lot of work and expertise and understanding that goes into that process. So I think being positioned as kind of a transport partner for a lot of the operators is where we are and where we want to be.
Is it a particular operator profile that fits? You know, is it the smaller businesses, the bigger businesses, or everybody?
Yeah, so I think typically where we come into our own is for those that haulage and transportation isn't necessarily their core business. It's kind of your restricted yeah. operator's license that are delivering their own goods, yeah. where managing a fleet for them can be quite complex. It's very resource heavy. And what we do is become their transport manager, do some of the yeah. heavy lifting of that, the operational analysis and all of that work to support them. And actually those businesses are the ones for me that can be at the forefront of this net zero transition, because more often than not, they're the out and back kind of deliveries.
Yeah.
So they can install the charging at their depot, charge overnight and off they go again. Whereas I think for those that are perhaps on the longer haul or multi-stop journeys, maybe the charging infrastructure isn't quite where it needs to be yet to really yeah. facilitate a big shift in that for them.
Yeah, that's what we used to call the traditional own account type businesses, isn't it, really, I suppose. But that's a really, really interesting point, though, because, you know, when you sort of look and when we work with the operators across our media and things like that, you know, you've got the what we call a traditional logistics business. You know, they make their money moving stuff, mm-hmm. you know, for anybody. But the one that's the quite interesting one, as you say, it's that own account business where they could be manufacturing tabletops, roof, yep. window frames. It really doesn't matter. And the, you know, the transport business to the, you know, the element of their transport is sometimes a necessary evil. They need to move their finished products to the marketplace. But the transport manager could also, because obviously running on restricted ore lines, could actually really be a production manager. And there's so many moving parts now, isn't there, in the whole world of I suppose, products, trucks, vans, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that you've really, really got to be on it full time,
yeah,
to be able to sort of just see what's going on in the marketplace. So a business, an organisation like yours, mm-hmm, can help take that burden away, you know, put the trust in a respectable organisation that can help them, isn't it, really, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it. These people are super busy, often not just doing the role of a transport manager, like you allude to. They're often kind of multiple responsibilities for that person in their organisation. So having a team of experts kind of behind them to help to do some of that heavy lifting is really valuable to them, and absolutely where we want to be.
And I think it's really important as well, the fact that, you know, I think as an industry, we can... Battery electric vehicle, we're in this transitional period. Decarbonisation, we're in this transitional period. And I think it's dead easy that as an industry, we can wrap it up and just focus on one element, being battery electric vehicles, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's a far bigger piece. And as you quite correctly say, there's a lot of life in diesel, yeah, but we can just be doing it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, is there any sort of, I don't mean sort of horror stories, but is there any stories you can tell us, you know, what sort of market acceptance been, you know, around sort of battery electric vehicles, with people sort of welcoming in or reluctant, or and what hurdles they've had to go to get into it?
I think with anything like this, there's a mixture of both, isn't there? You're going to have some early adopters that are really keen, that really want to make it work, and always with it's new technology, so it's not always going to go exactly how you want it to. Things are going to kind of, software is going to need updating. Things happen as with a diesel truck. Sometimes they break down, and they are it's how we fix them and how we get them back on the road as quickly as possible, because that is ultimately what matters to the operator. So I think it's a really mixed bag in terms of some are really here for it, some are much more kind of hesitant. And actually, when you look at kind of the industry as a whole, there's no policy in place at the moment that's really driving any urgency for operators to make the investment to shift. It's all very much sitting with the manufacturer to kind of meet these targets, which isn't sustainable long term, in my view. So I think, yeah, there's a mix of both. But as I mentioned earlier, those that have, from my experience, taken the EV Discovery vehicles have had an overall positive experience with it. And many are then starting to look at kind of building electric into their fleets longer term. So I think the more that we can get people kind of hearing the success stories. And interestingly, I was talking to the head of e-mobility for Renault Trucks yesterday, and he shared some kind of interesting statistics about I think Renault Trucks globally at the moment have got over 2,000 battery electric vehicles on the road that have done over 40 million electric kilometers. So they're out there, they're working. It's just a case of kind of adoption levels picking up across the board.
You mentioned Renault Trucks there. Can you just sort of explain the sort of the relationship that Renault Trucks has with Vitellus, and sort of how it sort of gels together?
Yeah, so Renault Trucks is kind of a part owner of Vitellus, so it is a shareholder within Vitellus, and then we have a group of dealers across the network that then own the other kind of percentage of it. So it is backed by Renault Trucks, but it is its own entity that is also backed by the dealer groups.
And again, so from a support network, you know, sort of from a support in the field, how does that work?
So we have access to the entire Renault dealer network. So the support in the field is from the OEM train technicians. We have 60 locations across the country. We can tap into all of the kind of the R&D, the expertise, the knowledge that Renault Trucks in the UK has because of the ownership structure. So the support is very much kind of accessible to us at Vitellus.
Yeah, this is how it's got to be, isn't it? You know, this is how it's got to be. I think, you know, the whole industry is in, I used the word earlier, is in this sort of transition away from the sort of traditional vehicle procurement styles, if you will, into probably more into this sort of contract hiring. For me, I'm not going to put any money on the table, but I think further forward, I think realistically, because, you know, whichever way you cut it, particularly with battery electric vehicles, they are a lot of money, you know, in relationship to your traditional ICE vehicles. You know, and again, ICE is a word we've only started using in the last couple of years, isn't it? But so obviously there's a lot more at stake for the operators. And I genuinely think that the style of business, or this whole sort of procurement process, is going to sit far more comfortably with the sort of contract hire element of it. And I'm, you know, me just sort of doing a bit of, you know, crystal ball gaze. And I can also see we're getting to a point where, you know, the operator's going to be on this almost like pay-per-use arrangement, you know, where, you know, either per kilowatt hour or per kilometre or whatever it is. You know, obviously there's that much intelligence on these vehicles now that, you know, that they know when the vehicle's moving, they know where it is, and they know how much power's being used. And I dare say somewhere along the line, that can sort of correlate into a used charge to the operator, I suppose, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. That. I think you're right. The total cost of ownership and the upfront investment for a battery electric is significantly higher than a diesel counterpart. And I think for that to kind of, that is one of the key barriers for operators in moving into electric. And I think overall to solve that, the capital costs need to be reduced, electricity costs need to come down, and there needs to be more targeted government support. And that's kind of, we don't have all of that lined up yet.
There's a lot of, no, I don't mean a lot at stake, because that sounds like something could go, but there's a lot going on, isn't there? And I think, as I say, the whole process. And again, and I sound like a bit of a stuck record with this, but the vehicle is the easy bit, you know. So whether you've got faith in the diamond, the three-pointed star, the iMac, it really doesn't matter. As a Renault truck operator, I know that product's going to be engineered to within an inch of its life. I know it's going to be right for me. It's how I change my business to accept the product, not the other way around. And again, there's a lot at stake there to do that, isn't there? And this whole sort of consultative approach to acquiring these vehicles is absolutely vital, isn't it?
It is, yeah, 100%. And I think different operators are under different pressures. So I know we've mentioned really there's no kind of government pressure yet on operators to make the shift, but customers are applying pressure to their operators. They want to see green credentials with it. So I think it is all, it is important. It is going to come, and that consultative approach to get it going through is key for them.
Because I think what's interesting as well is how the industry drives. So, you know, obviously you're saying your business at the minute is, you know, not say focused on owner account type business, but it's key to what you're doing. Yep. But there's going to be other businesses that are probably more involved in sort of traditional logistics that will be getting pressure from their clients to say, we need you to be 60% zero tailpipe emission by 2027.
Yeah.
And then they've got decision, I've said just 2027, not because there's a particular date attached to anything, but just as a date. But, and they're going to have to respond to that, and they're going to have to sort of look at, well, hang on a minute, we want to, one, do it because it's a response, we feel it as a logistics business, it's a responsible thing to do. But also we've got to sort of value what that contract is worth to us, and if indeed we want to continue servicing that customer, we've got to make investment. And I think, I think a lot of these businesses, well, on the other side of it, they're probably driving the change, are expecting to pay more for it. Because I've said for a long time, and I've said it so many times on these podcasts, in my mind, traditional transport, as we look at it, is too cheap. It's too cheap. You know, so it's interesting to see how this is going to play out. But it is playing out. It is playing out. And as I said, with what's happening with things like the government initiatives have got going around with ZHID and all these other things. There's movement, but is it moving quick enough?
Yeah, I think there's so many moving parts, isn't there, into the adoption. We've talked about the cost, the total cost of ownership, the upfront investment. We've talked about kind of, I've alluded to the pressure very much being with the manufacturer. And I think policy needs to push both ways. If you look at countries like the Netherlands, for example, they've got, I think, around 30 cities that are net zero clean air zones, and we have one in the UK right in the middle of Oxford. So there's no urgency, or there's no demand really being applied to the operator to make the shift now. So then you're tapping into the ones who want to do it, that are the early adopters, that feel, but there's a whole raft of others that will need to catch up, because it is the way that everything is going.
It's interesting times, and I keep saying, I think there's been more happen in the last 5 years than the previous 105 years. And again, the technology on these vehicles is moving so quickly.
Yeah.
you know, the tech that we're looking at now is not the tech we're going to be looking at in, I'm going to say, even 5 years, probably not even 2 years' time.
No.
You know, and that's why I suppose it's vitally important that you've got the support and the weight of a good network behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously, one, to keep up with the tech, and obviously the various updates that are going to go along with that. But just these things are extremely complicated, extremely technical, aren't they? You know,
and
obviously the support that needs to go with it. Let's talk about the CV show. Obviously, what products are you going to have support on, I suppose, in the Destination at Zero Zone?
Yeah, we're taking with us one of our EV Discovery vehicles. So we will have a 19-ton box body with us that is available on the EV Discovery program today. But I think beyond that, obviously, it's great to have the vehicle there and for people to be able to come sit in it, touch it, feel it, do all of that great stuff. But actually, our team will be there to start having some of the conversations like you and I are having today with as many operators as possible and talking about that full service offer, the support that is available, the network, the technology, everything that kind of goes along with it. So we're really looking forward to being there and hoping to have lots of interesting conversations.
No, I'm sure you will. And it's interesting times. And I think, again, just the whole sort of, not necessarily the theme of the show, but key to the show this year, and again, obviously, as media partner, is this whole decarbonisation agenda. And I think certainly from what I've seen, you know, the exhibitors that are there are very much that's the sort of cut and thrust and the drive of what the industry's talking about at the minute. You know, there's a lot going on, and I think, and I said this a few weeks ago, I think the whole show experience has changed now. And what I mean by that is, because there's so much going on in the marketplace, the shows themselves and events, there's a lot more based around the speaking and conference agenda, which the CV show's got, from memory, three stages talking about all different parts of the industry. But I think, again, having spoken to visitors at the CV show and indeed other shows, these events have become more like a classroom session. They've become a place to learn. You know, it's great to network with your colleagues, great to, you know, have a look around and see what's going on. But there's I see a big appetite for knowledge and learning, mm-hmm. because, you know, the operators, your clients, your potential clients, your potential operators need to start somewhere, don't they? And I also think the fact that the breadth of exhibitors that are there are all very supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you've got the product.
Yeah.
Fine, got the truck, but I need the power.
Yeah.
I need to speak to somebody who's going to provide the energy. I need a charging system to put the power through.
Yeah.
I also need to fund it. I also need to monitor it. You know, so everybody in the event has become sort of an equal.
Yeah,
I think it's a really good place to be.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think you're absolutely right about kind of the charge. I take the truck. How do I charge it? How do I fund it? All of that, and I think just to bring it back, I suppose, to Vitellus, is that we have the capability for all of that through our partners, kind of in one. So we provide the funding. We have the charging partners. We have kind of we've got it all in one kind of holistic package.
I think it's probably, again, as I think going back to where we started the conversation off, the fact that the type of operators that you're working with at this moment in time and the service that you offer, you're taking that headache away. You take not necessarily the legwork.
Yeah.
You know, where operators would need to speak to this person and go speak to that person and go speak to that and then arrange a contract and a visit. You know, you're working with an organisation like Vitellus, it makes life a little bit easier as well, doesn't it?
It does. That's always the intention, for sure.
Do you think, we've spoken about the government hurdles, if you will.
Yep.
What do you find are the biggest restrictions to being able to get these these operators on the journey for battery electric vehicles. What are the obstacles? What do you think needs to happen?
I think first and foremost, which we've already mentioned, is cost. It's that total cost of ownership piece. The investment upfront it's significantly higher than they're used to. So I think to get that going, we need to look at lowering the capital costs, lower electric costs, and more targeted government support. I think second to that, we've talked about policy. That is kind of having policy that drives some of this change from an operator's perspective as well as the manufacturer, so it becomes more evenly spread. I think charging infrastructure, public charging infrastructure, perhaps isn't where it needs to be yet. I think the picture is improving. We recently attended the Mylance launch up in Immingham, which is a fantastic facility. And actually the feedback from our shareholder network that are local to Immingham is that that's instilled a bit of confidence into some of the operators up there. And they're now interested in trialling an electric because they have the backing of that facility there.
I think that's a really, really valid point. And what I mean by that is, if you were, I mean, obviously look at Mylance, but I mean, obviously there's lots and lots of other organisations doing sort of very, very similar thing. The big obstacle I see, and just going back to what we said earlier, the truck is the easy bit. It's the investment that needs to go into the business to do that. And if you've got any reservations about investing what could be a lot of money into getting depot charging in place, if you are within 2 or 3 miles, or even probably 5 or 10 miles of one of those places, you know, that can offer a dedicated charging station, I'd keep the money in the bank. I'd go charge down the road.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it gives you the option, doesn't it? Because actually, I think from a price perspective, the kilowatt hour charge is kind of near or thereabouts in terms of what you would pay at your own depot versus at a place like Mylance. So I think it's just a great option to have as for those who want to do like you've just suggested and actually just go and use that. That is an option. But for those who want kind of the flexibility to do it on site or there, it just kind of doubles your capability, doesn't it?
You know, it does. And I think that, as I say, there's movement in the market. I think everybody's been sat on their hands. And I think the government will act, or the legislators or the, you know, will act as they see right for the investment that they can help, or the tax that they want to charge for. I don't want to go down a political rant and stuff, but I think the one thing that logistics organisations do well is understand what they need to do and will work a plan on how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could probably see things like collaboration as well between operators, you know, so where operators have got, you know, quite in-depth or high-level depot charging that they're using through, you know, the hours of darkness when the vehicles are back in, the systems are laying dormant through the day. And I think we probably could see quite a big element of sort of collaboration. Yeah. You know, we've got 20 depot chargers here, come and use them, you know, and I think that's probably going to be, you know, there's not going to be a silver bullet for this. I think there's going to be a lot of, as I say, collaboration and that's working together, I suppose, is probably the best way of describing it, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, as you say, there's loads of moving parts, lots of different things need to happen kind of and will continue to develop over time. But I think if we think about right now, do we have a product that works? Yes, we do. Do we have the experience and all of the knowledge behind it to make it work? Yes, we do. So we are in a position today to start helping the operators that want to start on that transition.
Mm. It's just before we finish off. So let's just finish off on, obviously we've spoken in depth about battery electric vehicles, but again, as I said, there's a lot more going on in and around, or a lot going on in and around your traditional sort of ICE engines, as we said. And obviously Vitalis as an organisation are perfectly placed to support that as well. So again, I think it's important not to get too hung up on the future technologies, but we've got today, tomorrow and next week, haven't we? We've got to deal with. I mean, obviously, the sort of level of service you can give around the sort of more traditional product is vital. And just often, would you have a number on how many vehicles are actually you know, under the sort of, I suppose, the management of Vitellus?
Yeah, so overall, there's a fleet of 3,500 vehicles within our kind of, within our remit of Vitellus and the shareholder network. There is a fleet of 3,500.
Yeah, and again, fully supported by the Renault Trucks Network.
Absolutely.
In that. And I suppose what's nice as well, you know, the a lot of the dealers that do form that network, I call them sort of entrepreneurship dealers. You know, the people, the family-owned businesses, yeah, you know, the national coverage, you know, and you know, they're, again, a good place to be in relationship to offering vehicle support and, I suppose, services that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. And the network, as you say, they're all super successful in their own right. So then bringing them together in a network and kind of collaboration like that just creates a bit of a superpower, in my view, for Vitellus. I think the network is our
real... I like that. Superpower. That's, yeah. that's the phrase. Well, thank you for your time. Looking forward to meeting you guys, seeing you guys at the CV show. We'll have a good catch up and get around. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I do thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you at the CV show in a matter of days.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks.